Bibles, turn with us to 1 Kings chapter number 16. I'm usually not too long. They didn't tell me how long I had, and I don't have my glasses on, can't see the watch. So if I feel a pull on my coattail, I'll know I'm going over. I normally ain't too bad at it. Just stay with us a little while. 1 Kings chapter number 16. Didn't you enjoy the preaching all day yesterday? Man, I told them, I said, they all done great. Brother Jerry, because he just outdone himself. I mean, wonderful preaching. He was kidding. If you know Brother Jerry, he's a cut-up. He said, they'll find out tonight that I outdone myself last night. I said, oh, boy. Amen. The day preached wonderful. 1 Kings chapter number 16. Let's start our reading in verse number 30. And Ahab the son of Arad did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel the daughter of Ethel, king of the, and if you're a scholar here, help me out, Sidonian, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. I want you to look here. I don't have time to read it. I know this preacher's supposed to preach behind me. But Israel was in trouble. They've got a king who doesn't fear the Lord, could care less what happened. He goes and takes a wife named Jezebel. And she runs him. I don't know too many people like that, but I do know a few. And Israel's in a crisis. They've got to have something to happen. If something don't happen, they're going to continually go lower and lower. Would you agree with that? And I feel like the Lord touched me. I'm not here just, I love to come by, but I felt like the Lord dealt with me to come by and preach to us a little while on conservatism in a crisis. Would you stretch forth your hand and ask the Lord to help me preach? Oh, Father, would you touch me? Help me to preach, God. Jesus, I can do nothing. The Lord, I'm dependent on the Spirit of the Lord. You don't have to turn there. I like to read one verse here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Paul writing, he said, "In my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." We have a generation that are not, they're no longer uneducated. We have people that have got degrees. We've got people in the church that have degrees. And folks' mentality, although it looks like when you look at them, they're going further toward the ignorant side on the world, but in one aspect, when it comes to their smarts, they are getting more intelligent. And words won't always impress this bunch. Would you agree with that? What they're needing in this hour is to see something from us, a demonstration of the Spirit of the Lord. Would you say amen? I've not been preaching real long, but I've been around a little bit. And it looks to me as though our people, to some degree, are in a drought. We have been experiencing spots of rain here and there, but for us to say that we're having a real, genuine revival all over the country, you must admit with me that our people, in the most part, are in a crisis. Seem like you go back one place the year after and they've lost a family, some have lost a pastor, and you go back and if they've not lost them, they're in turmoil. I mean, it just seems like everything is coming against our people in the day we live in. Would you say amen? I was in a church not too long back, and I was sitting there, we was preaching a meeting, and the pastor was doing the Sunday school lesson, and the congregation was allowed to give questions, and they had written it down on a piece of paper and handed it to him. And they were asking questions, and he was reading some of them without giving the name. And I was amazed at some of the questions that was coming from a holiness church that had been established for 50 years. There was a question one young lady wrote, and he said, "I'd like to address this." She said, "Is it all right that we wear something to show our figure? If we've got a figure that God give us, shouldn't we wear something to reveal it?" I said, "Lord, have mercy, that's elementary. But you know, really, that's where our people are, amen. I mean, we're at the point we got to ask the preacher everything, amen. Is it wrong to go to Dollywood, amen? Is it wrong to do this? Everything, it seems like we're at crunch time, brother. We're in a crisis when it seems like our people can't determine right from wrong, and they're looking for some handwriting to appear on the wall to say, don't do that, don't go there, you can't, amen." Somebody say amen. I mean, our young people, I deal with young people a lot, and I talked to one that was wearing a cap with a baseball team on it, and I can't believe that in a homeless church. He came to me and he said, "Look," he said, "how you like my hat, brother?" And I said, "I don't." He said, "What do you mean?" I just said, "Lord, touch me right there." I said, "Don't talk to him. He don't understand." I said, "What you need, boy? Not for me to talk to you. What you need is to pray through real good and get an experience in the Holy Ghost. Will you say amen?" I mean, the leaders in our church, I mean, they're great folks, but I mean, after the way the Lord moved last night, and we began to look at them, and we could tell that they are in the heat of the battle. I mean, they're pulling at their people, and their people's pulling at them. And it seemed like there's friction between the pulpit and the congregation. And the preachers are praying and fasting, doing what they can. But there's a spirit working between us and them. Would you say amen? I mean, it feels like it's a pulling us in every direction. And the conservative church is in a crisis. Amen. I mean, brother, our young people are falling out. Our leaders are in trouble, hurting and discouraged. Our people are backsliding by the handfuls. And the ones that are not backsliding to a degree, they're sitting in the house of God without convictions. And they are sitting in the house of God cold on the Lord. Would you say amen to this preacher? I'm about to get in my preaching. I ain't going to hold you too long. But something shaked my evangelizing and formed it and helped it. I overheard Brother Shad McDonald and another evangelist talking when I first got on the field, Brother McDonald. That evangelist said, "Sir, why do you always get pastors to preach your meetings?" And your son looked at him and replied, "Sir, it's the bottom of the ninth inning. We got two outs and we got people dying. We've got to have somebody to come into the church and get a hit and to not strike out. Come on here." I mean, brother, we are in that day when, earthquake. Y'all heard of the earthquake over in the ocean? That's killed hundreds of thousands of people, and they're talking like that there will be millions killed from the fact that the water has been polluted and the water has been mixed together, and malaria and these diseases will intermingle with the fresh water. I mean, we are in a troubled time. We are in that time that Thessalonians talks about, that there would be a falling away from the gospel, an apostasy. And you've got to admit, brethren, whether we believe pre, mid, or post, we are in a crunch time for the conservative church. Come on now. I mean, there's being more things allowed. We've got churches on some side of letting down, and we've got churches on the other side trying to add to. Come on now. I mean, and brother, it looks like that we're losing out. I want you to know something tonight before I get into where I'm going. Stay with me here. It's not that I feel like liberalism is the answer. I come out of that mess and I know better than that. But brother, I like to let you know something. We've got a bunch that's in the church, and they know a bunch of the letter do's and don'ts. They got it written on
the wall, but we've not yet established it written in the tabernacle, inside the temple and the fleshly stone. Come on here of the heart. I would to God I could preach a little while here on our churches in trouble. Brother, look, listen to me, preach a little while. I want you to know that holiness can never be legislated. You cannot write enough laws on the wall. You cannot stand over the people long enough and say don't do, can't, and won't. You cannot make them live right, and they can't make us live right. It's been tried since the beginning, when Moses came down from the mountain and he came down with 10 commandments. And by the time he got down a few years later, in the book of Leviticus, we find they've got 613 some odd laws just to try to keep 10 that Moses come up with. Come on here, keep the Sabbath day holy, and they had it where you can't leave the house on the Sabbath, and you can't take but so many steps on the Sabbath, and all Moses said was the Sabbath, keep it holy. But brother, to keep it holy, they come up with all kinds of stuff, only to find all over and over that the children of Israel would fall back in to gross sin. Somebody say amen. Come on here. I mean, we in our day, we've got preaching. We've got the best preachers that's ever, probably been assembled in a congregation, a fellowship. Amen. I mean, we've got preachers that can do it, brother. They know the Bible. Amen. We've got people that can play music. They can sing and they can do it all. But what, we're not in need of more talent. We're not in need of better preaching. What we're in need of in this hour is a demonstration of the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Lord to get more involved. Come on here now. I'm beginning to feel like preaching. We're in need of our congregation of the Spirit of God to fill the atmosphere. Kind of like He did last night. But brother, I hate to bust our bubble. That's not every night. Amen. We come to holiness camp meetings and we feel that power. But you go to revival like we do week after week, and you get to the home church and the same people that shouted in camp meeting, they won't back their preacher. Come on now. Brother, we're at crunch time. We're at a time that's dangerous for the church. And what we need to this morning, it's not more preaching. We don't need more laws, brother. We need people to give the law that's already wrote, established in the heart, and the Spirit of the Lord to move. And here, come on here. It helped this bunch. We're losing out on every side. It looks like we're going down. But I feel like the Lord told me that the church again would realize the Holy Ghost. It's not just a doodad to shout you and something big enough to hang a hat on. But He's something that'll come by that'll help you when you get up in the morning. Come on here. I said, come on here. The Holy Ghost ain't just a runner. And He ain't just a shouter, brother. He's there to write something deep inside the soul. And you'll know right from wrong after the Lord here this morning. Knows that the Holy Ghost, it's the most important part of the New Testament church. Once we got in the blood, once we're in the blood, the next important thing, we got to have a demonstration of the power of the Lord. Come on, somebody say amen. Paul dealt with this. They had a great revival in the book of Acts. There was Gentiles getting saved. There was Jews getting saved. What a move of God they were experiencing. I want you to know, immediately after Pentecost, we find that Paul was having to write to the book of Romans. There he is trying to write to them. He writes to this book to Romans. He said, look, like I talked to you a little while. All they knew about a church, that they had seen a bunch of Jews that were so bound up by law, that were so bound up by tradition, that you can't do this. They had suppressed the Jew and watched them. And you come on, that's what our young people think. They think it's a bunch of can'ts and couldn't and wouldn't. Amen. Amen. And they said, look here. Brother, here we are. He began to write to them in chapter 3, 4, 5, and 6, and 7. Know this, that the law is not bad, brother. He is trying to explain to them there's nothing wrong with the law. The law is good. But the standards are right. You don't have to become. That's why he's trying to explain. How are we that are dead to sin? How can we continue any longer there in it? How that we once that we've been then in chapter 7 he comes and he begins to explain to them, look, the thing, I don't care how you read it, this is what it said. The things I would not do, those are the things I'm doing, and the things I'd like to do, I'm not doing any good at them. He said, come on, you can follow out with me if you want to. But that's exactly what he said. I've heard preachers explain it away. But the bottom line was the Apostle Paul was struggling with himself. He was at a time when he needed something more. Come on here. And then he gets to chapter number 8. And he said, oh, I found out. Who shall deliver me from this old wretched man that I am? And chapter 8, verse number 1, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. But for that the law could not do, in that it was weak, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law it might be fulfilled in us. Therefore, brother, to be carnally minded, it is death, but to be spiritually minded, it is life, and it is peace. And then he said, the carnal mind, it's the enmity against God. It's not even subject to the laws of God, and neither indeed can be. Therefore, the Spirit of Him and raised up Christ from the dead, also dwell in your body, He shall quicken you. I said, He shall quicken you by that same Spirit. Amen. He's trying to explain to them, it's deeper than the law. We get our folks in touch with the Spirit of the Lord. Every day the preacher wouldn't have to say, don't. Come on now. So that's split up, young lady. We would have to tell you if you'd really get anointed a couple times. Quit trimming on your hair. We would have to beat it in your brain, ma'am, if you'd really pray through a couple of times. Woo! Come on here. Get rid of your TV, your VCR, and your DVD, and your internet. If you pray through a few times, the church would be all right. We're struggling not from the lack of preaching, but from the lack of praying. Conservatism is in a crisis. And it comes to this Corinthian bunch. When it gets to them, it begins to talk to them. Look, church, it's not enticing words. It's going to do this. If we come out of this, it's not going to be in this great orator ability. I done found out with my pitiful ability. I have revival. It don't come from the fact that I'm a good speaker. Amen. If it comes, it comes because the Holy Ghost anoints a man, and the man gets anointed in the Spirit of the Lord. It flows through a congregation, and at that point, come on. And then he told them in chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He began to explain to this bunch, look, it's not a fleshly tabernacle. It's not written on stone no more like Moses. But it's something, that's exactly what he told them in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. When he said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. You shall, they fast twice a day, twice a week. He said, they do all these things. They expand the borders of their garments. That meant they wore long sleeves. Come on here. He said, except you exceed theirs, you shall in no wise. But then he goes on, he said, look here, but what they do, he said, they say, he never condemned them the law. He never condemned the fact that they had a good doctrine. He condemned them because they were hypocrites, because they didn't have no movement of the Spirit, because they had all litter and there was no life. Amen. And that's what he told the other bunch. He told that Corinthian bunch, he said, look, be careful. He said, the litter will kill. The litter will kill. But if you can get that Spirit in the church, that Spirit will bring life. That Spirit will bring life. I may agree with the preacher today. Our church needs life. Our church needs life. Our church needs life. I know we got the letter, brother. The letter is good. Paul said the letter was good. But we're not in need of more letter. We're in need of more Spirit. Hey, oh God. I ain't going to be too much longer. My voice ain't holding up here. And he comes to the Galatians. He begins to talk to this Galatian bunch. When he gets to them, he begins to warn them. Do you know that Paul would not even fool with Peter for a time because he was trying to bring them back into the laws of the old covenant? He was trying to bring them. Come on now, shake it. Y'all can shake it if you want to. That's the truth. He gets to the Galatians. When he gets here, he said, look, it's not the gospel of the circumcision or the uncircumcision. What he said was, it is not, brethren. It's not bringing them back into that law. And then chapter 5, we always preach it. I preached it. Be not entangled again with the yokes of bondage. He said, don't do it. I always say, don't go back into smoking. Come on here. That ain't what he's talking about. He'd warned him, that Galatian bunch, don't you go back into saying that this and that necessarily. Because when you do that, you bring the church and the gospel of Christ, you bring it to none effect, and you do away with the cross at Calvary. Come on here. He said, but then he goes on. He said, you'll bite and devour one another. And then he said, here's the answer. If you'll walk in the Spirit, you shall never fulfill the lust of the flesh. Come on here. That's the answer to the church's trouble. It's us to get back in the Spirit of the Lord, and God can work it out. And he comes this Hebrew bunch. They knew every law. Levitical priesthood had it fixed. And these Hebrews and the Sanhedrin and the scribes, they knew it. Some of the scribes could quote the Old Testament from beginning to end. They knew it all. And in Hebrews, they experience a move of God and they get saved. And then this bunch, Brother MacDonald, instead of staying conservative, what they do, they go exactly from one extreme all the way to liberalism. They go from keeping all these laws and commandments, and now they're all the way over to where he has to warn them, look, you know better. If you sin willful, after you come to the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no sacrifice for your sinning, brother. He said, you know better what you're doing. And then he comes on down, he has to tell them. He said, look here we are. He said, here we are now, church, Hebrew bunch, you know the laws, but don't you trample underfoot the blood of the covenant and do despite to the Spirit. He's trying to warn one bunch. You went so far to the right that you're just a liberal. You're like Rod Parsley and the Crusaders. Come on here. And T.D. Fakes and the reprobates. Help me preach a little while. And I don't think nothing matters. God help us. I said, oh, God help us. I know it's not just an ultra because of being this foolish. But brother, liberalism won't do it either. The answer is the Spirit. The Spirit. The Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, I get back in our church. Up where we live, up there in the hills of Kentucky, just a few miles north, we got what they call pilgrim holiness. And brother, their standard will embarrass us. I mean, they got a standard. You look at them. They've Amish around up there in Ohio. I mean, Mennonites that won't have chrome on their car. Won't have a car that's bright. These folks got a better standard than we do. And there's churches I come out of. That brother, the bass player, he told me, he said, I love going to church. I love when them girls wear them mini skirts. I mean, so you got both sides of that pilgrim holiness bunch. And the Amish don't have no spirit. They don't have no anointing, Brother MacDonald. They don't have nothing that makes them different. I don't know about you. I love holiness. But I don't want them, the first thing they see is my sleeves. I want to see, brother, there's something about that group. There's an anointing, something different. It ain't their hair. It's about that smile. It's about that in the you know it'll make the difference. It'll be the Spirit of God. That's what John the Baptist said. Listen, if we lose the Spirit of the Lord, we'll be no different than the Mennonites. We'll be no different than the Amish. We'll be no different than the Pilgrim Holiness. Come on. I've seen it, son of Ohio. You don't want to love us, son. I've been seeing it as I've been going around. I've been watching our services dry up. I've been watching people that don't move on the pew. I've been watching preachers that lose at heart. Come on here. I've been watching such singers that don't worry about getting anointed because they don't think the congregation will move, even if they do. And the preacher says, what's the use? Come on here. The most important thing is that the Spirit of the Lord is in this biblical holiness camping, and it'll make the difference. That's what John the Baptist said. He said, look, brother. He said, look, now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. We've been cutting the branches off you. We've tried to cut your internet out, and you justified. We've tried to cut your DVD and out. Your Dollywood. We've tried to make you so you split up. Only when we turn our back, you're back doing the same thing the preacher told you not to do. John the Baptist said, when he comes, he'll lay the axe to the root of it. He gonna dig it out in here. We don't have to preach it off of you no more. If you'd really get it right here, you'd get that root cut out, sister. You'd get that root cut out, brother. And then he said, oh, there's one coming after me who's mightier than I am, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. And when he comes, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And his fan will surely be in his hand. And he'll purge his own floor. He'll purge you. Wouldn't you like to see your people, brother? Wouldn't you like to see it happen to them? You told them not to do it, and they went anyways. You told them not to act like that, and they've done it anyways. Oh, God, baptize us again, Lord. Rebaptize the church, and give us that anointing. And we say, what you take to get what you got, preacher? How do I get that? Get sanctified. Too much spirit, you blow up. Too much word, you dry up. That's right. Spirit and in truth. I preached a meeting not too long back. Sister Tiffany was a saint. I mean, God was a helper. I watched no long haired dude back there. Boy, he's a swaying. I mean, he's enjoying that music. I was beating him drums. Stephanie was a singer, hard out, brother Noah. I mean, he's back there suave. And y'all know what that is in Georgia, don't you? And he was smooth, man. I said, we're going to find out how much of this he's liking when I get to preach here. Come on now. There's lots of folks like the Spirit. We like coming in and swaying with the music. But when the preaching really gets coming down our row, a lot of us draw back. It's spirit and in truth, brother. I said, brother, don't you know? Come on, God help us. Somebody said, you knew he's there. You shouldn't have preached it. Bless God, I knew it was there, and I preached it anyways. Come on now. I didn't preach it on purpose, but the Lord anointed me. I told him, it's not natural for a man to have long hair on his face, on his back, on his chin. Come on here. Y'all don't believe this. You don't believe this. If you believe, just say amen. You'd still say, God, we need a move. Oh, God. Woo, I'm about done preaching, really. I am. Don't you? Here's where I feel like we are. He told Joshua. He said, look, Joshua, you've already been through the Red Sea. I want the priests to go put their feet. I want you to put your feet down in Jordan. When you get down there, he got there and he stayed too long. The Lord said, Joshua, get up. Joshua, get up.
I've got more for you.
Can I tell us something tonight? Some of y'all this morning, some of y'all need to get up. You're hung up on hair. You're hung up on this, that, and other. It's time for you to get up out of that sanctified river and you go on to Jericho. God's got more for you than you to stay there swimming around and floating around and never getting out of that river. Listen to me. I'm almost done preaching. I really am. I wish my voice would hold up here. I want you to know this before I close. That when they asked Mary, they said, Mary, you're going to have a baby. How are we going to do it? I've never known a man. She said, the Holy Ghost, the angel said, the Holy Ghost, it'll come to you. And when it comes to you, you can do this. Listen, you know, would you agree that we're in a crisis? When you look around at the temperature of our people's heart, and you look around at the desire we've got, wouldn't you agree we're in a crisis? How's it going to get done, preacher? I'm done with this, really, I am. I went to a church, man, as liberal as they could be. I went with one certain preacher. I flew all over the world playing music with him and preaching some and doing this. And brother, I got to pray when we got saved. Me and old Chris Stanley, my best friend, and they said, we got to praying and we had a little prayer meeting. There's about three of us started. By the time was finished. There was about 40 people in our liberal church was in there praying. The girls was wiping their makeup off. They said, we don't feel like wearing breeches no more. We want to wear some skirts. And that pastor of that church I went to, he came, he said, look, I know, Craig, you're prophesying. He said, I always told him. I said, I don't want a wife. I was in a worldly church. Come on, brother. I said, I was in a worldly church. I said, I didn't want a wife that cut her hair. I didn't know no wholeness. All I knew was the Spirit. I didn't want a wife that wore breeches. Come on now. Help me right here. And they said, why in the world are you doing here? Why are you in this church for, brother? And that pastor came and said, look at you. You're prophesying to these girls trying to find you a wife. And he began to break our prayer meeting up. He wouldn't let us pray. God told me not to go to the movie house. And he told me not to bring the movie house home. Come on here. He was one day, God, I thought I was cool, Mr. Slick. I mean, brother, I wore hippie beads and bell bottoms. I drove a Jeep without a tarp. I had 10-inch speakers and played Charles Johnson as loud as it go. Come on here. One day I had my shorts on. I got out of that Jeep with my Charlie J. He's a cranking, brother. I mean, there went a church woman in Kroger's. Y'all got Kroger's, don't you? I mean, I went in Kroger's there, and it's a food store, amen. I went in there, I got out. I started pulling on those old shorts. I said, God, if you'll let me get back to the house, I'll never have another pair on as long as I live. Somebody say amen. That worldly preacher that flew me all over the country. He had a big fancy boat. He had all kinds of stuff. Tommy said, look, we got out there on the lake. He said, look, brother, ain't nobody around. You can take your shirt off. And I bought you a pair of shorts at Walmart. You can put them on and swim with us. It ain't nothing but boys. I said, but you're wrong, sir. I said, there's somebody else out here on this boat. It's not me or you, but the Holy Ghost is right here with us. Come on now. Hey, my pastor came to me. He said, brother Inman, I want you to go to the movies with us. You've got to go and see that Christians, that we can have fun and not be dead. He talked me into going to the movies. I might need my head examined, but I went. I got in there, brother. He made us stop praying. I mean, we got in there awfully safe. And pretty soon, that spirit I used to feel, that shout I used to feel, that praying I used to have, I felt it dwindling down. I thought it was just an ember. Come on now. I mean, I couldn't shout. I'd come and feel after the Lord, and I couldn't find Him. I'd go pray and He wasn't there. Till one night, I went to the church where we went. Got to the steps. When I got to the steps, there stood old Chris Stanley. He was sitting on the steps of that church. He sat there. He said, guess what, Brother Emmett? I said, what's that, buddy? He said, I'm gonna tell you something. He said, you know all that TV watching me and my wife was doing? I mean, he was a movie renting this Marlboro, smoking his popcorn, eating his fella. I knew. Come on now. I mean, I walked up on that steps that day. When I got there, he was sitting there.
His face was a shining with a new shine. I said, what's the matter with you? He said, Craig, y'all know that smoking I was doing? He said, I ain't smoking no more. He said, you know all that TV watching I was doing? He said, I ain't watching it no more. He said, you know all that going to the movies? I ain't a going no more. I said, my God, what happened to you, boy? He said, I'm getting rid of my VCR. And I'm thinking about getting rid of the cable. Come on here while I say amen. I seen something about him that stirred my soul up. I went to the church with my mom and dad. My daddy, he is a deacon at that church. It's about 12 o'clock at night. I went in that old church, old Holiest Church. I knelt down and began to pray. I said, God, I don't know where I lost it. I don't know what happened. But whatever that boy's got, that's what I want. Whatever he's got a hold of. I prayed about 3 hours later. I got up, Brother Bruce. I got up from there. In an early church, I seen a homeless man going down the road, and he had long sleeves on. I said, God, I want to be one of them. I went to my mama. I said, Mama, don't buy me no more those short sleeve shirts. I want to be homeless. Don't you draw up on me. Nobody preached to me. I prayed through, brother. Come on here now. I said, nobody say don't. Nobody said you can't. I went back to that church. He said, go to the movies with us. I said, I don't know. I felt like the Lord told me not to. He said, I'm the pastor. Come on. I walked in there feeling like a sore thumb. I went in there. That movie Titanic was playing. Most of y'all homeless people watched it. Not that time. I got in there in the first 10 minutes. He had already said, took the Lord's name in vain, an awful word. I stood up, I looked at my pastor. I said, buddy, this ain't no place for me. I'll see you later. I went back to church. He got preached, said, you bunch of Susie Q's, better than you's, with your long sleeves and your long hair. One said, well, I'm almost done. I hope y'all ain't minded. One evening, I was sitting in the house, and I heard a knock on the door. I looked down, there's old Chris Stanley, that boy, the popcorn-eating, movie-watching, and Marlboro-smoking boy. He was standing there with a grin on. He had black pants on and a white shirt and black suspenders. He said, you want to go with me? I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Bond. Amen. I'm going down and see what them holy rollers are doing. I said, hold on a minute. Let me get my gray pants and my white shirt and my suspenders and let's go to Bond. Come on here. We walked out. Help us. We walked in that night. There's about 200 people in the regular service. His wife pulled her hair back like she didn't cut it. They go, he's going to stick in, fit in with that bunch. Brother Gabbard said, hold on, Bond. I got to preach to these three. 200 people there. I didn't wear my glasses. I thought for sure, if I leave my glasses, you know, I can't see much. He walked about 5 foot from the three of us. 200 other people sitting behind him. Walked out of the congregation. He said, if you play organized sports, you'll go to hell. He looked at that girl. He said, young lady, you'll go to hell for cutting your hair. He said, you'll go to hell. You'll go to hell. We walked out that day. I was ready for a flogging. Y'all know what them is, don't you? We thought Sister Stephanie was going to let us have it. I looked at her. Her husband looked at her. I said, what'd you think? I seen big tears start running down the side of her face. She said, that's exactly what we're looking for. She said, we're looking for somebody to tell us where to go. How to act. How to treat our wives. How to treat our husbands. We got back to that church. I'm almost done, really. I'm just having fun here. We got back to that church. I was a youth leader, had about 47 kids. I thought, well, I'll break them in easy. I started preaching against smoking and MTV. On the way home, one of my kids, his mama, lit up a Marlboro. That kid said, Mama, Brother Craig said you'd go to hell for smoking. She said, give me the phone. She called the pastor, and the pastor kicked us out. Amen. He said, I ain't having that junk go on here. I didn't know, but years before, his wife and her daddy was a deacon at Bond Church. She's had hair down to her ankles, and she's now the pastor of a liberalist church in our country and claiming to have a move of God. Listen to me preach a little while. I'm almost done, I promise you. I went here to, what's that one fella's name? R.W. Sandbach when I was in that whirly bunch. I went and heard him preach. I was sick, bro. I hadn't been sick in a long time. Hadn't missed church in 3 years. And me, a liberal, we can't get homeless folk to come consistent for 2 weeks. They don't come on Wednesday night. Come on here. Yeah, come. Worry the pastor to death if you're going to be there on Wednesday. Pray through, brother, and you'll be there on Tuesday for the working, too. I got in there and kicked us out. She said, it would take God to come down and write it on the wall to tell me any different. When I left, my dad took that Bible. He ain't like us. He stuck it in my chest. He said, boy, I know where you got what you got. You better go in there and stand up to that outfit. I said, ma'am, he done better than write it on the wall. He wrote in his book. I seen Hive start breaking out on the back of her neck. Woo, her short as mine. She getting mad, boy. I said, that's why God don't want women in these kind of meetings. Y'all temperament's a little different. Boy, that wasn't the right thing to say. Somebody say amen. I feel good. I got up there. I got back to Bond's meeting. And three nights went by. I'm about done preaching, honestly. Three nights went by. They preached on me. They preached on me and they preached on me. I'd already been to Sandbach. He ran back and slapped me in the forehead. About nearly knocked me out. It knocked me out. Drugged me back. Somebody said, did you feel something? I said, yeah, but it wasn't a spirit. Come on. The three nights of Bond's meeting has went by now. And there we are. And I'm sitting there thinking, boy, I'm tired of sitting here getting preached on. I want to be one of them folks. I like to be one of them. Some of y'all trying to get out, and these others trying to get in. Come on here. I mean, I said, God, I like to be one of them. I said over there last night, I said, God, I still don't fit in with them. I ain't got a place among them. I said, God. Last night I looked at old Chris. I said, Chris, I'm not sitting here no longer. I said, I'm going up there. You shall never fulfill the lust of the flesh. You got laws and rules. They're doing you no good. As soon as the preacher's gone, you're breaking every one of them. Pray through. When the preacher turns his back, you'll feel the same about it as you did when Russell McDonald was standing beside you. Lift your hands. I'm finished preaching. For God to give you a backbone like a saw log, and you stand for wholeness. I said, whatever it takes to get that spirit, I said, you give it to me. All of a sudden, I sent him right back. Then McDonald, he come back. He got about that far from my head. He never made contact. I felt something shoot through the top of my head. I felt it come out my feet. I started dancing and rejoicing. I like to let you know something. From that point, brother. From that point, brother, you can't preach too hard. I was looking for things to give up. I was painting the suspenders black because they had gold. Somebody help me.